الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue our studies together of the narration of the seven whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade them with his shade on the day of judgment whenever there is no shade except for his. We have a benefit by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala, and he has a work entitled Fath al-Bari, Fath al-Bari, which is the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. Many people, they are aware of this title, but the work they're familiar with is Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala. He also has the well-known and famous explanation of Sahih Bukhari. There are two works called Fath al-Bari. Both of them are the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, the one that is well-known and famous by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. He died in the year 852. This is the one that's generally referred to. But also not as famous or well-known, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He died in the year 795. He has an explanation of Sahih Bukhari as well, but it's not complete and it's not finished, but also it is named Fath al-Bari. In this particular work, he mentions some benefits and we read them. He says, Rahimahullah, هذه السبعة اختلفت أعمالهم في الصورة وجمعها معنى واحد. That these seven individuals here, their deeds, they differ in the outward appearance or the form that they're performed. But there is one aspect that gathers them all together. وهو مجاهدتهم لأنفسهم ومخالفتهم لأهوائهم. And that is that they're striving against their souls and they are opposing their desires. He says, وَذَلِكَ يَحْتَاجُ أَوَّلًا إِلَى رِيَاضَةٍ شَدِيدًا. And this requires first and foremost to severe practice. And a person, he has to make effort. This is not something maybe that a person, he will reach this level overnight. Rather, he has to strive against his soul. Sometimes his soul will get the best of him, and other times he will get the best of his soul until he trains his soul and checks his soul, and it goes straight in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's reported authentically from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he said, Al-Mujahid man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. Al-Mujahid, the true Mujahid, is the fighter in the cause of Allah. The true Mujahid, who is the real Mujahid? And Mujahid haqqan, the one who is truly fighting and striving in the path of Allah. Many times when we hear this, automatically we think about a weapon. Automatically we think about battling the disbelievers and the likes like this. No doubt this is included, but that's not what is intended here. The true Mujahid, the one who is truly fighting in the path of Allah, man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, the one who strives against his own soul in the obedience of Allah. So this requires effort. This is what he's saying. وَصَبْرٌ وَذَلِكَ يَحْتَاجُ أَوَّلًا إِلَّا رِيَاضَةٍ شَدِيدًا. This requires first and foremost any great practice and effort. وَصَبْرٍ عَلَى الْإِمْتِنَاعِ مِمَّا يَدُعُ إِلَيْهِ دَعِي الشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبُ وَالطَّمَعِ. And likewise, patience and refraining and turning away from that which the caller of desires and anger and lust calls to. And meaning the soul has emotions and it has lust and desires. Sometimes it's desiring for pleasure. That's impermissible. Other times maybe it's riled up, becomes angry. It might take somebody's right unlawfully. And the likes like this. Other times there's covetousness and there's greed in the heart that could cause one to transgress the limits in somebody's property or their wealth and the likes like this. So this, the likes of these people here, requires patience upon dealing with these desires, upon dealing with these lusts, upon dealing with these greed, upon dealing with these emotions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa shadid bisura'a." The one who is truly strong, it's not by a sura'a, yani is wrestling, being able to grab somebody on by his shoulders, for example, and put him on the ground to overpower somebody with their hands. This person is not truly considered shadid. "Laysa shadid bisura'a." إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ مَنْ يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one who is truly strong is the one who controls himself whenever he becomes angry. Controls his tongue whenever he becomes angry. Remembers Allah azza wa jalla and does not execute that anger, does not fulfill with that anger, does not lash out at people calling them names or cursing them, or bashing them, or lashing them, and the likes like does not lash out with his hand, striking them, and the likes like this, or getting revenge upon them, or plotting against them, and the likes, he doesn't do this. He controls himself. He remembers the promise of Allah. He remembers the threat of Allah. He remembers the mercy and the grace of Allah. He remembers the anger of Allah, and he checks his soul. He checks his soul. So this is the one who is truly strong. This is the one who is truly strong. So strength, barakallahu fikum, it lies in the deen. It lies in obedience. It lies in being able to check oneself and one's desires and whims for the sake of Allah. This one is true strength. This one is true strength. So this is what he's referring to here. He says, وَفِي تَجَشُّمِ ذَلِكَ مَشَقَّةٌ شَدِيدَ عَلَى النَّفْسِ. And in bearing this and dealing with this, and even repressing the desires, checking the whims, fighting against the one's souls and his lust, and the likes like this, and these inner ills that the soul calls to and that the devil calls to, in bearing this and facing this, there's great hardship and difficulty upon the soul. وَيَحْسُرُ لَهَا بِهِ أَلَمٌ عَظِيمٌ وَيَحْسُرُ لَهَا بِهِ أَلَمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And great pain comes about likewise. Maybe a person, his soul is desiring these affairs and wanting these affairs, and he's fighting against the soul, dealing with it, and we're trying to check himself, and it's difficult, it's hard. It's difficult, it's hard, especially in these days when the temptations are many and they're facilitated and easy and even praiseworthy. In the society, and the society becomes more difficult and more difficult. A person, he will strive against his soul until it hurts him. Until it hurts him. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there, it will come a time that al-mutamassik bidinihi kad qabidhi al-jamra. The one who's holding fast to his religion is like somebody's holding fast, squeezing onto a coal. And could you imagine that? Holding on to a coal. If a coal comes in your hand, somehow it comes in, what do? You let it go fast. That's what many people, they do with the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever their desires rile up, they let it go fast, like it's a coal. They do that with the religion of Allah, obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. The commandments of Allah, they go out like this. He lets them go and he follows his whims and desires with the other billah. But the likes of these people and the successful, those who have high and lofty ranks, they fight their souls. They fight their souls, and although it hurts them, they hold on tight and they don't let go. They hold on tight and they don't let go. So there's great hardship in this. So he says, فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ يَكَادُ يَحْتَرِقُ مِنْ حَارِ النَّارِ الشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبِ. So until the extent that the heart is about to burn up from the heat of the fire of desire and of anger. And of anger. عِنْدَ حَيَجَانِهَا فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ يَكَادُ يَحْتَرِقُ مِنْ حَارِ النَّارِ الشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبِ عِنْدَ حَيَجَانِهَا إِذَا لَمْ تُطْفَى بِبُلُوغِ الْغَرْضِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And meaning that the heart is about to burn up from the fire, from the heat of the fire, of the desires and the anger, whenever it's stirred up and riled up, if it's not put out by reaching its desires. And sometimes a person, his desires will rile up, and it will not go away until he fulfills that desire. That's why it's so encouraged for the youth to get married. So whenever those desires are riled up, they're placed in the proper place that is lawful, and not in the place that is unlawful. They put in the place, that desire is put in the proper place that is lawful and allowed and permissible and pleasing to Allah, and it's not used contrary to that. Because sometimes that becomes very difficult. So the one who is striving against his soul in this manner, he's going through hardship. He's experiencing hardship, and he inwardly and outwardly, subhanAllah, physically and spiritually, he's going through a battle. يعني يجاهد نفسه حقا. He's really striving against his soul. His soul is calling him. The environment is calling him. Shayateen al-ins is calling him. The devils from mankind is calling, male and female is calling him. Temptations are calling him. It's all easy in front of his face. And the likes like this. And he fights his soul. This one is truly striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, فَلَا جَرَمَا كَانَ الثَّوَابُ الصَّبْرِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ حَرُّ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَرُّ فِي الْمَوْقِفِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِلنَّاسِ ظِلٌّ يُظِلُّهُمْ وَيَقِيهِمْ حَرَّ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَانَ هَؤُلَاءِ السَّبْعَةَ فِي ظِلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لِحَرِّ الْمَوْقِفِ أَلَمًا جَزَاءً لِصَبْرِهِمْ عَلَى حَرِّ نَارِ الشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So he says, now no doubt the reward for their patience upon this on the day of resurrection, whenever the heat becomes intense and the people, they have no shade to protect them from the heat of the sun on that day, then these people, these seven here, they will be under the shade of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they will not find any pain. They will not find any pain or any hardship from the heat on that day. And the people, they're going to be experiencing pain and hardship. The people are going to be experiencing difficulties and trials. But they're going to be safe. They're going to be safe on that day as a recompense for their patience upon the heat of the desires and the anger in this worldly life. and he's dealing with their souls and checking their souls, they will have this recompense in the hereafter. So this is also an indication of another great principle in Al-Islam, of another great principle in Al-Islam that is well known and established in the authentic text, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense is according to the type of action. Hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan? Is the recompense for good anything except for good? So the one who strives and deals with the heat of his desires and pleasures and whims that are impermissible, and then whenever this heat riles up and he's dealing with that and facing that and going through that hardship and difficulty, on the day of resurrection, it will be cool for him. On the day of resurrection, it will be easy for him. It will be easy for him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned, لِلْعَبْدِ مَوْقِفَانِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّهِ مَوْقِفٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَوْقِفٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. That the slave, a person, he has two times he's standing before his Lord, and one in this life and one in the hereafter. And the one who stands in front of his Lord in this life properly, and he established, referring to the salah specifically, but no doubt likewise standing upon the deen of Allah and in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, whoever stands this stance, he takes this stand, the proper stance, the stance of a man, then, or the stance of a believer, the stance of a true believer, then in the hereafter, standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla, will be made light and easy for him. But as for the one who is negligent in the prayer and in standing in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life, then the day of resurrection is not going to be easy for him. And again, this is of utmost importance to realize that this narration is referring to this great foundation of faith. Al-Imanu bil yawm al-akhir. We believe in the last day. In the last day, it's real. It's real. And we see it around us. Our evidences and proofs clear in the environment around us. And just a few months ago, the trees, they're green and they're thriving and they're strong and they're plentiful. But then suddenly they begin to wither up and they die, as if they are not even alive yesterday. The same trees, those same trees, any before, a few months ago, they were green, they're flourishing, they're thriving. We've seen them, we witnessed them, we were in their shade maybe. And now those leaves are gone, and those trees are withered up, and the fruits likewise have vanished, as if they were not even in existence at all. But bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in just a few more months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His power and command and authority, He will cause those same trees to come back to life. He'll cause those same trees to come back to life, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and like this, likewise, He will bring us back to life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will stand before Him. Fi yawmin azim. Yawma yakumu nasu li rabbil alameen. So this is a great benefit to realize. We want to strive to be safe in the hereafter. We would not sacrifice some brief enjoyment in this life that's going to cause us failure and humiliation and great pain and agony in the hereafter. Rather, we have to be patient in these hardships and difficulties in this life, hoping for the aid and the help of Allah and His reward in the hereafter. The true home is the home of the hereafter. The true life is the life of the hereafter. This life is just a test and a trial. It does not last for anyone. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he struck a beautiful example clarifying this affair, barakallahu fikum, in Sahih Muslim, from the Hadith and Mustawrid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi ma mathuru الدنيا في الآخرة إلا كأحدكم يجعل إصبعه هذه في اليم فلينظر بما ترجع. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I swear by Allah, the example or the parable of this life compared to the hereafter is nothing except like one of you taking his finger and placing it in the sea. So let him see what comes back. If a person, he takes his finger and he places it in the sea, the amount of water on his finger compared to that which remains in the sea, how much is that? It's insignificant. You might say there's nothing left. There's no comparison whatsoever. The one who puts his finger in the sea, and then he pulls his finger out of the sea, and he compares this to the water remaining on his finger, compared to the water remaining in the sea, it's as if it's nothing. This is the comparison of this life to the hereafter. Then if we reflect, barakallahu fikum, and we look at that water that remains on the finger, how long does it remain on the finger? Huh? How long does it remain on the finger? Only moments. It's going to evaporate and go away. It's a small amount that returns, and that small amount does not even last for but moments. The environment affects it, and it dries up and goes away. This is the comparison of this life to the hereafter. It's nothing. It's insignificant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى كافر منها شربة ماء. that if this worldly life had weighed the wing of a fly or mosquito, with Allah Azza wa Jal, He would not give a disbeliever a drink of water. So this life is a simple test. The good of it and the bad of it. The good of it and the bad of it. It's a simple, it's a test. Test you to see what's best indeed. To test you to see what's best indeed. وَجَعَلْنَا مَعَ الْأَرْضِ ذِينَةَ لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We have made that which is on the earth as an adornment, a beautification to test them, to see what's best indeed. So these narrations have come to us to encourage us to strive for this day. To strive and to work for the hereafter. The people who work for this life and neglect the hereafter, they're failures. They're failures. And many times the angel comes to their soul while they're in a despicable state of disobedience. And the one who is sincere and truthful and he makes his main goal the hereafter and he works for the hereafter, Al-Kareem, Subhana, the most generous, the most kind, many times he will facilitate this life for him likewise. He will grant him goodness in this life likewise. He would have goodness in this life before the hereafter because he has a pure intention seeking their reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the case many times. Many times a person, he will strive for the hereafter and he will reach along with at the dunya. But nobody is known to strive for the dunya and reach along with that the hereafter. The hereafter. For this reason, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned about the dunya that if you have it in your hand and not in your heart, it will not harm you. But if it comes in your heart, whether it's in your hand or not, it will destroy you. Do you understand that? The dunya, this worldly life, if you have it in your hand, meaning you have millions, you have thousands, you have property, you have wealth, you have prosperity, alhamdulillah, you have cars, you have homes, you have families, alhamdulillah, lawful, that's all good. So long as it's in your hands and not in your heart, it will not harm you because you will use it to get what's in your heart because the heart is the king. The heart is the king. The heart is the king, it commands. So he will use that money in the pleasure of Allah. He'll use that money in the pleasure of Allah and the limits of Allah and that which is lawful and that which is lawful and permissible. But as for if that money goes into the heart and the desire for that is in his heart, then even if he didn't have the money, it would destroy him. Even if it didn't have the money, it would destroy him and lead him to disobedience and to a foul and lowly way. So these people here, they're examples of people that are striving for the hereafter, striving against their souls to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have achieved this great and lofty benefit and virtue. That Allah will shade them with His shade on the day, there will be no shade. So the first one he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imamun adlun, a just ruler. The people of knowledge, they mention what is intended here is al-wilayah al-uthma, al-imam, al-wilayah al-uthma, the great authority. And meaning the one who is a ruler. The one who is a just ruler. And he has authority over subjects, over a society, over a country, over a land, and the likes like this. This is what is intended here. Although those people who are just in their dealings in general, likewise they have reached a high and lofty status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although maybe not all of us could be rulers to achieve this virtue, but anyone who has others under their care, they can strive likewise to resemble the likes of this person and to be just in their dealings with their family, to be just in the dealings with their students, to be just in their dealings with those who are under their authority, either in work or in school or in their home, and it's collected by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna al-muqsitina 'inda Allahi 'ala manabir min nur, an yamin ar-Rahman 'azza wa jalla wa kilta yadayhi yamin." That those people who are just, they will be on podiums, on manabir, in the plural of minbar. They will be upon the podiums of light on the right of Ar-Rahman, and both of his hands are right. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhina ya'dinuna fi hukmihim wa ahlihim wa ma walaw. They are those who are just in their judgments, and they are just with their families, and they are just with those whom they have authority over. So this one is even more general. This is even more general. So the one mentioned here is specific to the great authority, any of the authority over the land. But likewise, those who have any type of authority, they also should strive to be just and strive to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to that authority and not let that authority lead them to transgress the limits. Or not let that authority cause them to not establish it properly and be negligent with regards to that. or be negligent with regards to this. So those who have those who are in charge of people making judgments between them, or those who have family members they must take care of and discipline, or those who have any type of guardianship, they must be just in dealing with that. And those who are just, they have a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been also collected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua one day. He made dua for two types of people. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma man waliya min amri ummati shay'an fashaqqa alayhim fashquq alayhi. Oh Allah, whoever takes charge of any affair of my ummah whatsoever, and he makes it hard for them, make it hard for him. فَشَقَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَشْقُقْ عَلَيْهِ. This is a supplication against this individual. Anyone who takes any type of authority over anyone from the ummah, this is very, very, very inclusive, very, very general. Any type of authority over any Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has authority in any manner over anyone in the ummah, a man over his wife, or a man and wife over their children, or a teacher over his students, just examples. Anyone who has authority over another believer, فَشَقَ عَلَيْهِمْ اللَّهُمْ فَشْقُقْ عَلَيْهِمْ. He made it difficult for them, intentionally making it hard for them, then oh Allah, make it hard for him. Then oh Allah, make it difficult for him. So this is supplication against this. So this is a warning to be just and to not make it hard on people who are under one's authority. To make it easy for them. To make it easy for them to do right and to do good and to benefit. وَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ أُمَّتِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ أُمَّتِي شَيْئًا فَرَفَقَ بِهِمْ فَارْفُقْ بِهِ. And whoever has authority over anything from my ummah whatsoever, then and he is gentle with them, then O Allah, be gentle with him. Then O Allah, be gentle with him. So the Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the interpretation, the best interpretation of an Imam al-Adil. And he says, وَأَحْسَنُ مَا فُسِرَ بِهِ الْعَادِلِ أَنَّهُ أَلَذِي يَتَّبِعُ عَمْرَ اللَّهِ بِوَضْعِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فِي مَوْضِئِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ إِفْرَاثٍ وَلَا تَفْرِيضٍ. That the Imam who is just, and also we understand from that anyone else who has authority, likewise the one who is just, and the Imam who is just specifically, and likewise being just with other individuals as well, he said the best interpretation that has been made about this just person here is that he is the one who follows the command of Allah. And meaning he follows the Quran and the Sunnah. And he puts everything in its proper place without going to extremes and without being negligent. Without going to extremes and without being negligent. So this is the issue of justice. It's the moderate path. It's the moderate path. And the as-sirat al-mustaqim, as-sirat al-mu'tadil, bayna ifrat wa tafrid, between extremism, going overboard, and being negligent, So the people of knowledge, likewise, they mention a benefit. Why the imam here is mentioned first. From these seven, the imam, the just ruler, he's mentioned first. And this is because of the great benefit that he has. And whenever the imam is just and he is pious and righteous, then this has a great influence on the society. For this reason, it's from the methodology of Ahl Sunnah Amma that they supplicate for the Muslim ruler, regardless of his state. They supplicate for him and not against him. Until in the books of Aqidah and the books of Crete and the likes, they will say from the signs of Ahl Sunnah is making dua for the Muslim ruler. And from the signs of Ahl Bidah is that they make dua against the Muslim ruler. If you read in the books of the Salaf, if you read in the books of Imam Ahmed, and other than him, rahimahullah, al-Barahari, and the likes like this, you will find these things mentioned directly. These are signs. So this is also from those attributes that we should know. The people of the truth, they make dua for the Muslim ruler. And the people of falsehood and deviation, they make dua against the Muslim ruler. So for this reason, likewise, we've seen that Imam Ahmed, and likewise before him, Imam Ahmed, he died in 241. Before him, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in 187. It's been mentioned that he said, if I had, لو كان لي دعوة مستجابة لجعلتها في الإمام. If I had a supplication that I knew would be responded to, no doubt, I would make it for the Imam. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he died in 191. He said, who could do that except for you? Fudayl, and if somebody told you right now, if you were informed, that you have a supplication that Allah will respond to you right now, whatever you ask for now, Allah, he will grant it to you, guaranteed. Any people, what would they make dua for? Something, this one wants a Ferrari, this one wants a wife, this one wants to go to Jannah, this one, his mind's gonna go all over the place. At Fudayl, his mind goes to the Muslim ruler. I'll make dua for the Muslim ruler. Why?
God
Because he loves Islam and he loves the Muslims and he wants good for the people. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And he, so he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So if the Muslim ruler is good, then the people will be good. And they'll be in a good state. They will not be oppressed. They will not be done wrong. The religion will be established and the likes like this. So the point is that the Prophet ﷺ began with the mention of the ruler here and the just ruler here because of the great benefit that comes by way of him, the encompassing benefit. So some of these individuals here, they have great benefit, but it's restricted to themselves. As for the benefit of a just ruler, this is something that is encompassing, and it reaches out to the society. And the greater the benefit, the better. The greater the benefit, the better. And the most beloved of the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla are those who are most beneficial for the people. Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, about al-Imam al-Adil, he says, وَأَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And this person, he'll be from the closest of the people to Allah on the day of resurrection. وَهُوَ عَلَى مِنْبَرْ مِنْ نُورٍ عَلَى يَمِينِ الرَّحْمَنِ. And he will be on a podium of light on the right of Ar-Rahman. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ لِمُخَالَفَتِهِ الْهَوَى. And this is his recompense for opposing his desires. And he referring to the narration that we mentioned. He says, وَصَبْرَ عَلَى تَنْفِيذِ مَا تَدْعُوهُ إِلَيْهِ شَهَوَاتُهُ وَطَمُعُهُ وَغَضَبُهُ مَا قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَى بُلُوغِ غَرَضِهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And also because, and this is his recompense for opposing his desires and being patient in executing, and being patient in not executing that which his desires and whims and lusts are calling him to, and that which his greed and covetousness and anger, his emotions, these foul emotions, are calling him to, along with the fact that he has the ability to execute it and to do it. Yani the imam, who is a ruler, he's a ruler of a country, a king of a country, a president of the country. Nobody can stop him. Yani he can oppress that one. He can take from that one. He can talk bad to that one. He can have this one, and he can do. He's wealthy. He's strong. He's powerful. He can do what he wants. Nobody can, in general, yani to tell him no. He's the ruler. He's so this person now, the one who is truly sincere and just, he has fought all of that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's all at his hands. It's all easy for him. And he checked himself with regards to that. So this is for the this is from the reason why he has his great and lofty status. So he says, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ الْإِمَامَ الْعَادِلِ دَعَتُ الدُّنْيَا كُلُّهَا لِنَفْسِهَا فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. He said, because the true, the just imam, the just ruler, the just president, the just ruler of the society, the whole dunya is calling him to it. You understand? And he said, indeed, I fear Allah. Indeed, I fear Allah. And he could have whatever he likes, from the halal or the haram. From the women, from the money, from the wealth, from the drink, from the food, he can have whatever he likes. He's a king, he's a ruler, he has great authority, a great kingdom. So the one who is sincere in this, then it's like the whole dunya is calling him to him. And he refused. And said, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Indeed, I fear Allah. So this is from the reason why he has this great reward, and why likewise the Prophet ﷺ began with mentioning him, and Allah knows best. After this, number two, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. One wording by Imam Muslim, بِعِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, and the meaning is very similar. And a young man who was brought up in the worship of Allah, meaning he worships Allah alone sincerely from his childhood, in a manner correct and proper. So this person, yani likewise, he is young. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, وَخَصَ الشَّابَ لِكَوْنِهِ مَظِنَّةَ غَلَبَةِ الشَّهْوَ لِمَا فِيهِ مِنْ قُوَّةِ الْبَعِثِ عَلَى مُتَابَعَةِ الْهَوَى. That the youth, the young man here, and also the young woman is included, right? We discussed that. The young man, or the young woman, is mentioned here specifically because at this age, the age of youth, this is the time where a person is easily overcome by his desires. The youth, many times, they're easily overcome by their desires and their whims, along with the fact that the hawa is strong. The hawa is strong. And the youth, one thing that they lack, and many times they do not realize, is experience. And one thing that is of utmost importance and benefit in traversing the straight path and being steadfast is experience. having experience in life in general and experience in worship and obedience. And worship and obedience. And this is something that comes along with the elders. With the elders. So many times the youth, they don't have this experience with life in general. And they don't have this experience in checking their whims and desires. And the desires are very strong. They're very strong. So he says, فَإِنَّ مُلَازِمَتُهُ الْعِبَادَةِ مَعَ ذَلِكَ أَشَدُّ وَأَدَلُّ عَلَى التَّقْوَى وَمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ وَمُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى. So the fact that this person, along with this young age, little experience, and these great strong desires, he's able to hold fast to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is an even greater and stronger indication that he's a person of piety. That he's a person of piety. And that he is a person who is truly striving against his soul and opposing and dealing with his desires. And opposing and dealing with his desires. In the wording by Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَأَفْنَى شَبَابُهُ وَنَشَاطُهُ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And he's the one who spent his whole youth and all of his energy and his young age in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great opportunity for the likes of you, noble brothers and sisters, barakallahu fikum, those in their young age. And in general, any of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the youth, it lasts until the age of 40. Some of them have mentioned that. Somebody who's under the age of 40 is still considered from the shabab. He's still considered from the shabab. So many times we think of the shab, yani he's somebody who is 12 or 13 or maybe 15, 16, but rather even those who are in their 20s, likewise, they're from the shabab. But no doubt, yani what is being referred to here is somebody who grew up the whole time in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a great benefit and great opportunity for the likes of you, barakallahu fikum, to strive to be from these people, to benefit from your youth, to benefit from your youth and the strength of your youth, and to fight against your soul, to strive against the ills of the society, and to be sincere in your faith, and to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One point to be made here is that he grew up in the worship of Allah. So the worship of Allah is not considered the worship of Allah except with Tawheed, and likewise except with Sunnah. If it does not have Tawheed, then it will never be accepted. It will never be accepted. And likewise, if it's not upon the Sunnah, it will never be accepted. So this is the example of a person who grew up upon the Quran and the Sunnah, upon the Tawheed wal Mutaba'ah, al Ikhlas wal Mutaba'ah. Yani, so this is of utmost importance. Yani, to be in touch, in contact with Ahl al Ikhlas wal Mutaba'ah, yani, with the people of knowledge. With the people of knowledge. For this reason, Ibn Shawthab, rahimahullah, he mentioned, min ni'matillahi ala الشَّابِ وَالْعَجَمِ أَنْ يُوَفَّقَا إِلَى صَحِبِ سُنَّةِ يَحْمِلُهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. That from the blessing of Allah, from the blessing and favor of Allah upon the youth or a new Muslim, is that they will be given success to be in the company of a person of the Sunnah that will carry them upon the Sunnah. That will carry them upon the Sunnah. Because the likes of these people, they'll be affected greatly by the first person who comes to them. So to be in the company of the people of the Sunnah, to be in the gatherings of knowledge, to be in the masajid, this is what it means to grow up in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. To be engaged in beneficial knowledge in the daytime, in the nighttime, in the masjid, in the home, and the likes like this, and then striving to implement that knowledge. Striving to implement that knowledge and to be in the company of the righteous. This is of utmost importance. Maybe a person, he's young and striving to be upon the ibadah of Allah. The ibadah of Allah. But if he's not careful, his companions and those he's in the company of, they can mislead him very easily. They can mislead him very easily away from his goal and away from his aim. The people of knowledge, they say, as-sahib wa sahib. As-sahib sahib. Yeah? Wal-mujaris mujanis. Yani the sahib is the sahib. The sahib means companion. Sahib, it means somebody who pulls you. So the sahib, yashabuka ila ma huwa fihi. The sahib, your companion, he's going to pull you along with him. Whatever he's doing, this is what companions do. They pull you along with them. So if your companion is in the ibadah of Allah, if your companion is upon the sunnah, if your companion is upon khayr and goodness, he's going to pull you along with him in that. But if your companion is upon innovation, or upon bid'ah, or upon the way of the khawarij, or the methodology of these deviants and the likes of Ikhwan Muslimun, so on and so forth, or these different jama'at of falsehood and the likes, then he's going to pull you along with that. He's going to pull you along with him into that. Or if he is upon sin and the likes, upon sin and music and having boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, billah, and the likes of these affairs, he's going to pull you along into these affairs. So no doubt this is a great benefit here, to strive to grow up in the worship of Allah. And many times also this will be because, not necessarily always, but because the parents, they raise their child in that manner. So if you notice that you have parents who are striving to raise you upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you should be thankful. You should be thankful. Some of us, we do not realize the great favor and blessing that we have, that we have parents that are striving to raise us upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They teach us the Tawheed of Allah in our homes. They teach us the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our homes. They teach us about the companions and loving the companions in our homes, and they raise them upon that way. They remind them to eat with the right hand, to say Bismillah whenever they eat. They establish the prayer and the fast and the likes, and they prohibit the evil and forbid backbiting and other lowly affairs. And they're good in that way. To have parents that are like this is a great, great blessing. Just to have a mom you can give salam to is a great, great blessing. Some of us, we don't have that blessing. Some of us, we don't have that blessing. You understand that? Could you imagine? You can't say salam alaikum to your mom. You can't say assalamu alaikum to your mom. Some brothers, they can't say assalamu alaikum to their mom because their mom is not a Muslim. So this is a great, great favor and blessing if you have a mother who's a Muslim. And then if you have a mother who's striving upon the Sunnah, even greater and greater and greater. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. So, Alhamdulillah, to grow up on the Sunnah, to grow up upon Ibadah, this many times is because of the efforts of the parents after the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. After this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ Inshallah, we take this one in our class tomorrow. If there's any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them now with regards to that which has preceded. Now.
Something that will offend somebody, or will I say something that will cause more harm, or will I say something that will bring benefit? What's the so I can use this against my soul as a weapon? What is the which one is worse, or which one is better? Not forbidding that which is evil and letting it go, or saying something and maybe causing more harm to the situation?
Yani, the people of knowledge, barakallahu fiqh, they mentioned, they say, let your commanding the good be good, and that you're forbidding the evil not be evil. So some people, they want to command the good, but they do it in a bad way. Or they want to forbid the evil, and it's evil in the manner that they're doing it. One of the examples of this and how it was corrected properly in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. A man, he came, desert Arab, he came to the masjid and he passed urine. فَبَالَ فِي طَائِفَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ فَزَجَرَهُ النَّاسِ And the people, they reprimanded him. The companions, they became angry. They started raising their voices to him, yani, because he's passing urine in the masjid, and in the Prophet's masjid, akramakum Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade them. He stopped them. He didn't stop them from reprimanding the man. He stopped them from the way they reprimanded the man. So they left him. He said, da'uhu, leave him. And then after he's finished, he went over there and talked to him, and he said that this masajid is not a place for this. It's not proper. The only thing that's good here is the Quran and the salah and the likes like this. It has to be clean and pure from these affairs. So yani, this is the case. So he didn't, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reprimand them for reprimanding him, but rather the way. So that's not the way, because if they're going to make it worse now, because this is already something bad. But if you do it wrong, it's going to become worse. So you don't want to make something bad worse. You understand? So this is a principle. You don't want to make something bad worse. But also you don't want to be a coward. You don't want to be a coward and be afraid of the people. No, you just tell them. So whenever you order the good or you prohibit the evil, you do it in a good manner. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned a principle with regards to this as well, a scale. A scale. And it's in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, it's a long narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, من أحب أن يدخل الجنة ومن أحب أن يزحزح عن النار ويدخل الجنة فلتأتيه منيته ويؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر ولا يأتي الناس الذي يحب أن يؤتى إليه. That whoever would like to be removed from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, then let his death come to him while he believes in Allah in the last day. And the shahid is, and let him treat the people the way he would like to be treated. So this is the case. This is the scale right here. In all of our dealings with all of the people, how do you want to take yourself to account? If I was in their situation, and they deal with me, the way I deal with them, would I like that? Would I like that? If you make a mistake, for example, you like the people to put it on Twitter and YouTube, right? You slipped up and made a mistake, you recite the verse wrong, or you said something wrong, or you misunderstood something altogether, and you said it, and the people record it, and then would you like for the people to put that on Twitter and on YouTube and the likes, would you like that? Or like if you're walking down the road and you slip and fall, would you like people to say, hey, look at him, he slipped and fell. Or would you like for somebody to come over then help you and pick you up? Or if you're hanging on a ledge about to fall, would you like for somebody to come step on your fingers until you fall? Or would you like for somebody to give you a hand to pick you up? And this is the example. Barakallahu feekum. Some of our brothers, they do the likes of these affairs. Instead of doing what they're supposed to do, what is good for them, they actually do what is contrary. So that's not really ordering the good. And there's a difference between advice, nasiha, and fadiha, exposing the people. So the scale to know this is, I mean, that I deal with them in a manner that I would like to be dealt with had I been there. So you want to correct somebody. You want to advise him. Maybe he's dragging his pants, or maybe he's smoking cigarettes, or maybe. So if you go to him and you advise him in the manner you would like to be advised, if you were smoking cigarettes or if you were trying with these ills, then you did the right thing. Even if he gets mad. You understand? So this is the scale. So you go to him, for example, you say, Barakallah fiq. Wallahi, these cigarettes is no good. This is something that everybody in their sound mind knows is no good. And the doctors have clarified that it's no good. On the package, look, it says right there, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you. You know, and then on top of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La darar wa la dirar. It's no harming and no reciprocating harm. And Allah, he says, Wa la turku bi aydikum ila tahluk. Don't not cast yourself into this is something haram. It's not pleasing to Allah. Barakallah fiqh, you should leave it. I advise you to leave it. It's not good. Jazakallah khair. Wallahi, I want good for you, brother. Barakallah fiqh. And then after that, if he says, oh, you're arrogant, you think you're... That's on him, yani. That's on him, it's not on you. You understand? But if you go to him and you snatch his pack of cigarettes, you throw it out, man, this is haram, you don't know nothing, are you stupid, da, da, da. Like this, and he's not going to accept that. Nobody would accept that. You understand? So this is how. How would you like to be advised? You know, if somebody cuts you in a bad situation, how would you like to be dealt with? How would you like to be advised? This is a great benefit. Yani, likewise, for example, the children. The children, we have to order them to get up for salah, right? Yeah, whenever they're young, huh? It's not, or even whenever they come to the age of puberty, and they have to get up for fajr, for example, right? Maybe he's 15, maybe she's 15. So if some parents, they smack them on the feet, get up, or they're get up, it's time for salah. Lazy, oh, you miss prayer every day. You're not gonna pray. They're talking bad to them. Talking loud to them, and they're sleeping. You know, and sometimes when a person's sleeping, literally he doesn't know what he's saying, what he's doing, and the likes, like, then when he wakes up, he's like, oh, Afwan, I didn't know. You know, the point is, like, if you are a 15-year-old young man, if you are a 15-year-old young woman, and you're struggling in America or in Canada with the desires and the whims and the problems and the lusts and the phone and the website and the. Would you like for your parents to come in there, get up, lazy, what's wrong with you? You got to pray. Go pray. You didn't pray it. Raising their voice to you, would you like that? Is that a good way? Nah, that's not a good way. So likewise, we should raise our children the same way. This is another example of that. I hope it was beneficial. Halas? Any other questions? Anybody had a question?
So you said a young man who was brought up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say a person was misguided for a while, but he was still at a young age. You could say maybe in their early 20s or maybe even younger. And then Allah guided them, and they made tawbah, and then from there on, they're on the right path. Would that also count?
Allah knows best. But I would not despair. Regardless, I would not despair. So these people, they have a special reward, and they have special qualities. So the origin is that you have to meet them specifically. But that should not deter us. And we should not ever despair of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there are other narrations that's mentioned that this person, did not have a subway. He never left his whole life. But these narrations are weak. They mention that they have weakness in the chain. That he never deviated. He didn't have that issue in the youth where he just followed his desires for a moment and then he came back. Right? So, but we shouldn't give up despair. We should never think that the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is restricted. Allah, He is the most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He will bless you in a great way. So I would not give up hope. I would keep striving. And inshallah, if that was the case, no matter what people did, no matter what one did, if he truly repented from that, whether he's young or whether he's old, Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive him. And then if he's striving to be steadfast upon that way, this is a sign that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted that repentance. So this is a great, great sign. This is a great, great sign. So many of us, we were trying with disbelief. Many of us were trying with disbelief. And then alhamdulillah, we accepted Islam. Others, they were trying with misguidance. And they came to the straight path. And so some of us, we lived a life upon disbelief, and then we were guided to Islam. And others, we lived a life upon Islam, but we did not know the Sunnah. Maybe upon innovation or cultures or customs, and then Allah guide us to the Sunnah. Allahu Akbar, light comes on. Light comes on. It's a similar light to the light of the one who accepted Islam, but it's slightly different. But it's slightly, they have great comparisons. And because the light of the Sunnah is a great, great light. A great, great light. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And then after that, the light of obedience and showing preference to the hereafter and having love for the deen, having love for Allah, having love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these great, great, great favors. And regardless, for those who are young and for those who are old. For those who are young and for those who are old. Now,
you mentioned a hadith about Salman.
It's the same narration. You want me to, it's the same narration, this the slightly different wordings. So this the wording of Salman, it mentioned in the beginning and in the shade of the Arsh. And also, you want me to mention that wording that he mentioned with regards to the youth?
Yes.
And there are slight differences in the wordings. And whenever the youth is mentioned, he mentioned that yani afna shababahu wa nashatahu fi ta'atillah or fi ibadatillah, that he spent his youth and his energy and the obedience. Afna shababahu wa nashatahu fi ibadatillah. Naam, that's the wording. Afna شبابه ونشاطه في عبادة الله. He wore out his youth and his energy and the worship of Allah. This was in the Sunan Sa'id ibn Mansur. Sa'id ibn Mansur, he has a Sunnah from the books of Hadith. Naam.
The first category, Imam Adam. Uh-huh.
Yes, some of the people of knowledge mentioned that, and some of the and Ibn Hajar, he mentioned that someone who has any type of authority will be included, but Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned that they're not included. But I was trying to summarize that and say that no doubt this ruler is included, and also no doubt the one who has some other type of authority, if he's just in that, he has a great reward. So the other narration, it mentions that those who are just, they're on podiums of light on the right of Ar-Rahman on the day of resurrection. And it's mentioned specifically here that they are those who are just in their judgments and rulings, and just with their family, and those who they have authority over. So Ibn Hajar, he used this evidence here to clarify that it's included. But if we look at it in detail, we see that the rewards are different. These people here, they have light, they're on lights, they're on podium of light on the right of Ar-Rahman, and these other people here, they're under the shade of Ar-Rahman. So are they the same included, or are they separate specific rewards? Allah knows best. But being just and dealing with those under your authority is a great means to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and a great right and obligation likewise. And Allah knows best. Wadih? Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.